We think about emotions. We think about feeling good. Who feels good here this morning? Yeah, we can feel good physically, but not spiritually. But we can feel good spiritually, but not physically. And I was thinking about the good feelings of feeling this morning, that it's not something man-generated. Setting a hook on a big bass, that's a man-generated feeling. Finding a good bargain at a store, ask Debbie, that's a good deal right there. Hitting a golf ball and it going straight. Any golfers here hit the ball, got a little slice or a hook or whatever. But what motivates us to feel good here this morning? What's stirring in your heart here this morning? David sent me a text yesterday and reminded me that today is the day of Pentecost. Today is the day of Pentecost. Now, I'm going to throw this out there, no hand raising, no nothing. Just look inside yourself. Do you know what that means? Okay. I'm sure we've got some yeses. I see some head noddings. I'm sure we got some noes. But I'm going to read that to you. That's not the sermon text, but I felt led to read that this morning so you'll know from the Word of God what the day of Pentecost is. It's found in Acts chapter 2, and this is after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It's after his ascension, because remember he said, I must go so that I can send the Comforter, right? Acts chapter 2 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. That was the day of Pentecost. That's the day that the Holy Spirit arrived. Remember, he said he had to go away so he can send the Comforter. That's the time the Comforter came that stirs our hearts. It says, and who are they? They are the believers. They are the ones that have accepted Jesus for who he is, for what he done. They have accepted him in the finished work. And you know who that is today? That's you and me that has accepted Jesus as our personal Savior. You have experienced the day of Pentecost. That was the first day right there. Somebody gets saved today, they could have Pentecost today. Amen. That is the Holy Spirit coming in. That's the feeling we get when Teresa sings a powerful song and a little one says, thank you, teacher. That's the Holy Spirit moving upon us all. Amen. The Holy Spirit's not confined to a limited space. The Holy Spirit is free and can roam among us. Thank God for the day of Pentecost. Keep that in your mind. If you didn't know what the day of Pentecost is, that's the day that God came down in the form of the Holy Spirit to indwell the believers. Amen. That's Bible right there. That's Bible. I'm going to begin. Man, you ought to see these notes. It looked like some doctor wrote all over this stuff on a prescription. How I figured it out. But I told Debbie last night, I hope the Lord can get this out of me, what he's put in. I'm going to be reading out of Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to start out reading verses 1 through 16. Philippians chapter 2. General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. If you can find one of those, you can find the other. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 16. And of course, we know Paul wrote this. This is a letter to the Philippians. He says in Philippians 2, verses 1 through 16, he says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Key. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring or disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Let us pray. Lord, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the day of Pentecost. We ask now, Lord, as we go into this sermon section here, that you will bless and move, guide and direct, and that every word will bring glory and honor to you, that we will get our flesh out of the way, that we will focus on you just for a short period. We ask the Lord again this morning, be with our pastor this day. Just bless him as only you can. And I do again ask for you to get me out of the way. And these favors we ask in Christ's name, and amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you all. Be seated. And in reference to our pastor, the sermon he preached Wednesday night down at Belleville came out of Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. And it was on Paul's fourth missionary journey, and they were shipwrecked, and they had come on the coast, and some barbarians was helping them, and they had built a fire, and Paul gathered some sticks and put them on the fire, and a viper had grabbed a hold of him and held on, and the viper spread his poison and was going to they were waiting on him to swell up and die from the poisonous bite at Paul, but he shook the viper off. And that was the point of Dave's sermon, is about the vipers in our world today. Okay, just read that and think about that on that respect. Verses 1 through 11 talks about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so much. Paul tells the Philippians, Paul's telling us the importance of what Jesus has done, things that we could not do. So, has anybody ever wondered Just what does that mean? Work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, it made me, when I read that in a modern mindset, in a physical mindset, when I read that, the way it comes across to me is like you can just do it yourself. But that points directly back to Genesis chapter 3, when Satan leans up over him and says, "Surely you won't die. You'll be as gods." So we know that's not what that's about, do we? I mean, we live in a day where I can say I'm a 20-year-old girl, and you gotta like it. That's not what that's saying there. It's not telling us that we can do it ourselves. So, you've heard us mention the Strong's Concordance. Well, I've learned a lot about that. And the Strong's Concordance is not a commentary. It is referenced back to the original Greek words. Amen. Correct? Correct. It is back to the original Greek, New Testament, Hebrew, Old Testament words and their meanings when they were written. These words that we see today, that place right there where it says work, is the only English word that they could put in the place of, I'm not even going to try to say that word in the Greek. So, here's what I've found. How could we work out our own salvation? After reading what Jesus, about Jesus. It's number 2716 for those that might have a Strong's Concordance. It is maintenance of your salvation. So it makes me realize to get saved is an action. Correct? I was lost. Now I'm found. I accepted Jesus. I got saved. What do I have after I get saved? What do I possess after I get saved?
Salvation.
So we got to understand that salvation is a thing we have, and we need to work at it. Those who do exercise and stuff and work out and try to stay slim and trim, you know. So, but what do you do? How do you maintain that? How do you progress in that? You go work out. How do you work out your salvation? By studying the Word of God. How do you work out your salvation? By being in church and assembling yourselves together and hearing the gospel and following the day of Pentecost. Knowing what that means in your life. It's seeking God's Word. It's seeking God's guidance for your life. If I'm working out and I want my body to look good and I want to grow and be productive, I don't go to Twinkie Land every other day. I don't go to McDonald's three times a day. I don't drink milkshakes this big. That's a large. You remember that commercial? Now that's a large. That's what the world's pushing on us. Okay? We got to refrain from those things that hurt our bodies. We got to refrain from those things if we want to be. So what am I telling you this for? Working out yourself. If you have salvation, you have the most special, powerful gift that was ever given. Unduplicated by man, though he's tried, though we have tried to replace it with self-righteousness and other things, we cannot. It is a gift of God. Amen. It is called grace. So if you're born again here, and I mean born again, the Bible says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but by the Father, but by Jesus." We've talked about the blood. The rainbow even represents, the first thing God sees is the blood. Does he see your blood? No, he sees Jesus' blood. That's the only blood that is pure and clean and righteous and good and true and powerful that can overcome sin. My blood can do nothing. How do we grow? How do we work out our own salvation? By seeking him and his righteousness. Here, back to the Strong's. It says to work fully, to accomplish, to work, perform. That word, that definition applied to the word work in Philippians 2:12, which was maintenance. It applies to the word worketh, which was found in Corinthians a couple of places, Romans a couple of places, James a couple of places. Working is found Romans 1 and Romans 7. Wrought is another past tense form of working. That was found in Romans and Corinthians and others. But everywhere else in the Scripture, in the New Testament, not everywhere, the majority of the other places, the definition of that word was number 2041, and that is to toil and act, a deed, a doing, a labor. If you'll look real quick, if you still got your bookmarked in Philippians chapter 2, we've seen work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That work right there meant our maintenance of something that we have. And if you'll go back to chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's his efforts. That's his work. That's the doctrine of Jesus found in Hebrews chapter 6. That's the work that he did. Not the work that I can do. It's found also in Philippians 2:30. Same definition. Because of the work of Christ. Okay, remember that. Because of the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Because of the efforts of Christ. Because of the toil of Christ. Because of the deed of Christ, because of the doing of Christ. I hope this helps you to understand that. Amen. Working out your own salvation. Because that seemed kind of had an opposite effect. Jesus, 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 verse 11, and then he says, you do it. Now we understand. To be saved is an action. We've talked about that. And to have salvation is the result of an action. Okay? And that action was of what? Of Christ, which we just talked about in Philippians 1 and 6. Works of the law. Numbers, again, 2:41. The works of the law. What is the results of the action of the law? Death, exactly. Sin, it shows us our sin, results in death. Exactly. So, let's look at the toils and works of Christ. What are the results of what he done? Life. Salvation and life. Yes. Here's another example comparing the two. Think about money. You know, you hear, who understands the stock market and all that stuff? Me neither. Not a bit. But with your money, how do you get your money? Work. You earn your money. That is the definition in 2041, the toil. So after you have the money, now we worked, it's Friday, we get our money. Now what do we do with it? Most of us squander it. Yeah. But I listened to a guy, Larry Burkett, years ago on when the radio station was still in Belpre that Kalo has now. He had since passed away, but he was a financial advisor. And he would say, money is a terrible master, but a great tool. In the definition in the Strong's in number 2716 is you work to let your money work for you. Okay, now think about that. We work for our salvation. We don't work for our salvation. We work to lift our salvation. We work to be more productive with our salvation. We work to help us to grow. Who wants to grow? Anybody want to grow? They put their money in there so let your money work for you so it can grow. I hope there's none in here that don't want to get stronger as a Christian. And that puts us all in the same bag. Yeah, maybe this guy has been saved today and this guy has been saved 40 years, but if they both still want to go get better, be more productive and learn, we're continuing to grow, right? So, how's a few, well, according to that money, if you look up Matthew 25:15, I think Greg refers to that a lot, the talents. Each was given the talents. The other ones invested it and used it and worked with the talents they had, worked with the salvation that was given to them. And what happened? It grew, other than the one that buried it in the dirt and did nothing with it. He didn't grow at all. It was dormant. So, here's some of the things that we can do to help us to work out our own salvation. Do you want to grow? Do you want to grow? Amen. Come on now, do you want to grow? Amen. You got to want to. I preached a sermon a while back about there's two kind of want to's, and I still think about that a lot. It's like, yeah, I want to be successful. I want to do this. I want to get to the top of Mount Everest, but I don't want to climb it. That's the two want to's. Do you want to grow as a Christian? Do you want to grow in your calling as was brought to us this morning in the lesson? It takes effort. It takes working out your salvation. Here's just a few things in 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verses 14 through 18. It says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. I done failed the first verse. Do I always do right by my neighbor? But I want to. And I want to grow that. I want to do better. They said, put legs on those prayers. Pray for that person, but go visit that person. Guilty right here. Oh, I want to do that. I do, I want to, but I ain't got time, but I got time to take a nap, got time to do this, got time to do that. Shame on me. That's not working out my salvation. Verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. I hope this is hitting the hearts here this morning. If you're about to fall asleep, I'm missing it or you're missing it, one or the other. Because this is to our hearts. This is to us on a personal level. Do you want to grow? Only you can answer that. Do you want to grow? Then quit living like the world. That's the vipers that Dave was talking about. The vipers that are even in the church. Amen. They'll lay dormant in that pile of sticks till you stir them up. Then they're going to get a hold of you. And they're going to kill you. They want to kill you. They want to destroy you. They want to ruin this church. They want to ruin the body of Christ. Do you want that in your life? Do you want that? Do you? Jesus asked Peter, says, if you love me, will you feed my sheep? Greg will feed them sheep. I got better things to do. Dave will feed them sheep. I got better things to do. That reminds me too, when Paul was talking about in his presence or his absence, you cannot depend on Dave long for your salvation. Dave has his own salvation. Dave has a calling to preach the Word of God to us, to show us examples, to help us work out our own salvation. But it is up to you if you want to grow as a Christian. It is up to you. There's no finger pointing. What Dave did, well, nothing. Who was it? I'm talking about, he's going to be in the shadow of Jesus. There'll be no pointing. There'll be no whining. There'll be no excuses. There'll be no self-righteousness. There'll be no adjusting of the gospel of Christ. There'll be, I was as good as they was. There'll be none of that. I've been the guy that says, well, you know, God really loves us. It's okay. It's not. The Word of God says it's not. Work out your salvation. Look inside yourself right now. He's crying out to us here this morning. Move upon us. Our world, our country is falling into shambles because of our self-righteousness, because we have accepted things that are unacceptable. We do things that are unacceptable. We want to make things okay that are unacceptable. That's the Word of God. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the day of Pentecost. I pray He's talking to your heart this morning. He's speaking volumes to mine. Standing on the promises of God. Oh, I finished this. Verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice, meaning rejoice in the love Jesus had before you. Rejoice in the grace that He sent to us. Pray without ceasing. We've talked about that many times. And we know what that means. You can pray while you're driving. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you do that? Do you do that? We're giving thanks not to anything but to God. All things come from God. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God and called according to His purpose. How can that be good? It is of God's purpose. If you're called of God and you are serving Him, whatever may be will result in bringing glory to God. How can you say that, Jamie? I don't. Word of God does. Take it from there. Quench not the Spirit. Who's the Spirit? That's the day of Pentecost. That's God Himself. And He's got to tell us not to quench. Shame on me. Shame on us. Despise not prophesy. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. We sang a song Wednesday night. Standing on the promises at down in Belleville. Immediately he took me back to childhood, you know, and not really fully understanding what the promises of God is. But I'm going to ask you right now, are you standing on the promises of God? Philippians 2:13. Very next verse, key verse was 12, you know, work out your own salvation. Verse 13 says, for it is God which does what? worketh. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that's number 1754 in the Strong's. And the definition of that word worketh right there is active. God is active in my life. What? What? Think about that. I don't deserve him to be doing anything in my life. But God is active in my life. I seen this question this week. Have we forgot who God is? We have as a country. We have as a country. So, let's choke it down. How about our state? Yeah. How about our communities? Yeah. How about our churches? So what are we going to do? What are we going to do about that, folks? What are we going to do about that this morning? We're going to seek God. We're going to remember who God is. Do you remember where it says in the beginning? Who done something? God. So, was any of us there? Nope. God did it. So who is God? And we try to get him to who we think he is. Well, to me, God is a God of love, which he is, but he's not going to send anybody to hell. No, he's not. He's just going to let you go on your own. That's your destination till you've been born again, is hell. God is the one that has all authority. God is the creator of all things. God parted the Red Sea, and they walked on dry ground as much as they'd like to say it was a windstorm. God led them with a pillar of smoke and a pillar of fire. God did that. God created this very day. It is a day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So what are we rejoicing in? What God has done. Who is God to you right now? Is he somebody you just come and hope you sit beside on a Sunday morning maybe? Or is he somebody you holler out, oh man, I'm going to hit that tree. You know? God is active in your very life at this very minute, no matter how low you are. When Ken was teaching earlier, he talked about hitting that point. And I can vividly remember hitting the point where I thought, I have arrived. I've got ordained. I am a preacher. I got this. And my life changed from that day forward. And I went through the lowest part ever. Ever. How could you do that to me? For God, with God, all things are, I just said it, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God and called according to his purpose. And he has brought me where I am today, and it's still lower than I ever been. But I'm looking up. I know in whom I put my trust. Amen. I know in whom God is to me. He is who he is, not who I think he is. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. God is telling me I about better quit. Do you love him today? Amen. Do you want to serve him today? You going to have one of those? Do you want to grow as a Christian today? I hope it stirred your heart. I hope it kicked your shins. Because that's conviction from love. And not do it my way or the highway. Do you want to serve him? Do you want to grow? Do you want to be a better Christian? Just what is a good Christian here? Yeah, I knew old Joe Henry Hohandle lived out on the ridge. Man, he was a fine Christian man. What is a good Christian? What is a fine Christian? What is that? What is that? Somebody that he's a good Christian in my eyes. My eyes don't matter. He's serving the Lord. If you're serving the Lord, you're seeking Jesus, it's good to be a Christian.